This is Folk Scene. I'm Howard Larman with Peter Cutler and Stephen Barker at the controls. Live from Studio A, our guests are Kathy Finks and Marcy Markser.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Live from Studio A, our guests are Kathy Fink and Marcy Markser. And yeah, you almost caught me napping.
That's what that last chord is for, to wake up the host.
Okay. Yeah, he was up dancing across the room. Don't let him fool you.
Yeah. Congratulations on your new album.
Thank you.
Voice on the Wind. And that makes how many albums for the partnership now?
Oh, we've actually never counted. I'm sure it's someplace between 12 and 20 or something. Yeah.
I gather your repertoire is always changing and widening, and therefore you're able to do all these albums.
There's an endless stream of projects for us. It's sort of as soon as one is finished, there are five more waiting in the wings. And we just love learning new stuff, so we're never bored with finding something new to put in the repertoire. We listen to and play a lot of different kinds of music, and so that's really, you know, that kind of keeps you going.
As I need to mention that Kathy and Marcy also do children's albums and videos, and we'll talk about a lot of that. And the latest album's on Rounder Records, I should mention that. And you've been on a number of different labels.
Yeah. Well, don't, you know, it's like not a negative thing necessarily.
No, I didn't.
Different companies are interested in different kinds of things, and so that's why we do them. But they all work together often. Last time we put out, we had three albums come out at once on three different companies, and they all worked together on promotion, which I thought was pretty brilliant.
That's great.
Yeah, most of our stuff at this point is with the Rounder label, both the kids' music and the adult music. Mm-hmm. Rounder has made a really nice commitment to the work that we do, and it's, of course, reciprocated by us doing a lot of extra and special kinds of things with Rounder that we really enjoy doing. And at this point, it's kind of nice for us to have everything sort of in one place, although there are other projects that we do that don't fit into what Rounder does, like the instructional work that we do for Homespun Tapes, Happy Trom and Jane Trom's company, or some of the kids' live concert videos that we've put out ourselves. So at the same time, we have, as Marcy said, often done projects that were with different companies where they worked together on promotion for two different things because it made sense. We're the common thread to all of that stuff, and it makes everybody happy.
Our guests are Kathy Fink and Marcy Markser, And their new album's called Voice on the Wind, and it's on Rounder Records. I'm going to give you their 800 number because you might want to look into all the other recordings that are available of theirs, as well as videos. 1-800-669-3942. Do you do an equal amount of concerts with adults that you do with children? Is it pretty much even?
Yeah, we do, actually. And it's been that way for a very long time. Marcy and I have been playing together full-time for close to 15 years. And, in fact, just for fun, because this is not something that I don't think I've ever talked about much on the radio, we'll talk a little bit about when we first met, because it was 17 years ago in July.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, look what happened to the time. And we were performing at a folk festival in Toronto. It was the first year that the Mariposa Festival didn't happen. And so someone else put on a festival in Toronto, and Marcy was there with her old-time string band called the Bosom Buddies String Band from Michigan, and I was there doing my very first festival as a solo. And we ended up being in a whole lot of the same jam sessions and stuff like that, and a bunch of the same workshops. We had an incredible jam session one night, Fiddle Tunes, with Norman and Nancy Blake and Robin and Linda Williams and Gamble Rogers and Marcy and myself and a few other people. And as the night wore on and people wore out, there were less and less people in the session until Marcy and I realized that the most polite thing we could do would be to continue playing music outside of the room where people were trying to sleep.
Yeah, well, plus they threw us out.
So we moved way, way, way down the hall thinking nobody's at this end of the hall, and kept on playing tunes for a little while. It's probably about 3:30 in the morning, thinking that we're not bothering anybody when very slowly and deliberately a door very close to us creaked open.
And out stepped Elizabeth Cotton. We'd gone to the quiet wing right where I think only she was. And she hobbled out in her little nightie, her little cotton nightie. She said, I prayed to the Lord to make you children a little less happy. I guess he ain't going to do it. And we, you know, the funny thing was we'd been both trying to practice her tunes so that we could impress her when we met her, you know, and then we met her, didn't exactly impress her.
Well, we made an impression. It was the one we were hoping for.
She remembered that for a long time, too, unfortunately.
Our guests are Kathy Fink and Marcy Markser. They record for Rounder, and they're live from Studio A. How about another number?
Yeah, we'll do a little retuning. I'll talk about this while Marcy does some retuning.
I'll do some drastic retuning, I'll warn you.
This song is a Henry Wadsworth Longfellow poem that we learned in a roundabout way from the singing of the fiddle player from Metamora, Pete Sutherland. There we go. And he learned it from an old-timer that he spent lots of personal time with, Lotus Dickey. And we had the joy of meeting Lotus Dickey a number of times, both at concerts in the Washington area. And he spent a couple weeks at the Augusta workshops, where we taught for about 15 years. And Lotus learned this song from his dad. Well, when Lotus passed away, and he was from Indiana, when Lotus passed away maybe 5-6 years ago, he had to be in his late 80s or something, and then he learned this from his dad. This goes back a long ways, and it is just a really beautiful poem and piece of music called Psalm of Life. Marcy is putting her guitar in one of those fancy Celtic tunings, and then she's got the capo up so high that you wonder why she just doesn't play mandolin on it, but it's because she knows how to make it sound so great.
Did Lotus Dickey know the origin? Did he know it was a poem?
I think so.
Yes, he did. He credited it to Wadsworth.
And, you know, the other thing that was remarkable about Lotus Dickey is that he wrote some of the most amazing songs based on Bible stories. They were fascinating songs. He was a great character, and as you well know, Marcy and I have always delighted not only in singing a lot of great contemporary music, but learning old music from some of the older people who spent 30, 40, 50 years, you know, singing that stuff, either because they created it or because it was passed on to them. And we'll talk about some more of those folks after a while. So this is called Psalm of Life. Thank you.
Life is real, life is earnest, and the grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, to dust returnest, was not spoken of the soul.
His latest album called Voice on the Wind. When you make a record, is it... I'd like to know how the decision's made. And what I'm talking about is, do you say, boy, we have 13 or 14 songs we really want to record, or does somebody say it's time for you to make another record, or you feel like you want to go in the studio and you gather up songs? Well, how does that work?
It's different for us with every project. This particular album, Voice on the Wind, was kind of an... It was meant to be an eclectic collection. And in a way, it was an eclectic collection of songs that didn't fit into a theme album of some other kind. And for a while, we had gotten into doing a lot of theme albums. We did the Parents Home Companion album, Humorous Songs for and About Parents. And that was sort of almost meant to be an extension or a bridge between the kids' music that we do and the adult folk and country kind of stuff that we do. And for the last couple of years, we've done a lot of children's recordings that were very theme-oriented. And on those recordings, we actually, you know, there needs to be some centerpiece or glue that ties all of the songs together for a good reason, like the album Nobody Else Like Me, Songs That Celebrate Diversity of Kids. It's a pretty big topic, but everything had to fit within that topic. For Voice on the Wind, I think Marcy and I were conscious of trying to not just be eclectic, but still have a reason why everything fit together on the same album. And it ended up working pretty well for us.
We had a blast putting that album together. We kind of did whatever we wanted to. and tried to make it fit just like you'd make it fit in a concert, but we did some of our fantasy things we'd really like to have. We had a piano player play that we really love on one tune named Tony Knocker, who is brilliant. And I got to do a guitar duet with Bill Kirchen, who's one of my guitar heroes. You know, we have hundreds of guitar heroes, and he's been out there forever, and it's a blast to play with him. So, yeah, it's like a...
I think if there was a theme to Voice on the Wind, it was literally celebrating those 15 years of music that we've made together. And that celebration sort of allowed us to include anything that we wanted to. And it was lots of fun because of that. And we, as you probably know, spend a tremendous amount of time producing other people's recordings as well. And so for us, every once in a while when we get to turn around and say, okay, it's our turn to do our own thing, it was a real special time for us to be able to do that and take our time with it and enjoy it, think hard. You know, the decisions weren't too hard about what songs to do, but there were a few that we had to think hard about whether or not they fit, and then, you know, whether or not we cared whether or not they fit. Or, you know, the first thing that Roz said when we got here, she was hoping that we would play Ruby, and I wish that we could, but it takes a special banjo and two special drums. If we've got our van, then we can schlep all of that stuff. And on a trip like that, this, it makes it a little more difficult. But that was fun for us to do because drum and banjo sound cool together.
They're both banjos, really. Yeah. I mean, both drums. They're both drums. Banjo's a drum with a neck on it.
Before you do the next song, explain to me, if the two of you were performing close to home, how many instruments would you take with you to a concert?
All of them, darn it. Everything that fits in the car.
Uh-huh. It's pretty funny. For our kids' concerts, our van is almost not big enough anymore because Marcy plays the steel drum. She plays a couple of other...
Hammer dulcimer, that's kind of big.
She plays hammer dulcimer, the electric guitar with the big amplifier, acoustic guitar. You know, by the time we're done with that and the banjo and my guitars, it's a pretty full van. For our adult shows... The majority of our show is me playing the acoustic guitar, usually this Santa Cruz OM guitar that I've got here, and my tubophone banjo. Marcy's on the Gibson F5 mandolin and the L4 guitar, that really sweet sound and electric Gibson. And if we're driving, if we're going to take extra stuff, we'll sometimes take a long neck mandolin, which sounds really great, that Marcy plays. And I have a couple of really special banjos. The banjo that I play Ruby with, it's got a big, fat 12-inch pot, I think. And it's tuned low. It's tuned real low. And then I've just recently gotten a couple of incredible banjos that are replicas of things from the Civil War. So they're fretless, and they've got chunky fretless wooden necks with gut strings and gut heads, and they are
they're incredible,
deep and thumpy, and they've got the blues, and they're really fun and cool. So we can have fun with all that stuff if we're driving, and if we're flying, then usually we've got five or six things. We have as many things as we can sneak onto the airplane.
What song or tune are you going to do next?
Well, we thought we'd do one of our contemporary Lounge Lizard pieces here. It's a tune that I wrote in honor of my 40th birthday, which was several years ago at this point. But I was thinking, in fact, at the time that I wrote it, about the longevity of my grandparents. On my mother's side, they lived to the ripe ages of 89 and something like 94. And I, you know, on my 40th birthday, I was thinking, geez, you know, I'm not even half as old as they were. I could do the same amount of time all over again. And I was thinking, halfway there, that could be a song right there. And, you know, everybody in our peer group obviously was turning that corner. In fact, we've got quite a few in our peer group who are turning the next corner, the big 5-0 and things like that. So I decided that I would write a little ode to middle age. This is the kind of thing that Marcy and I would like to play in old age, because we realize that as folk singers, we started awfully late with the concept of a pension or an IRA. And so when it comes to what are we going to do in old age, retirement is probably not going to be it. And we thought, you know, but we might get tired of schlepping all this stuff around the country. And then what are we going to do? And I thought, I know, we can keep playing music. We can take up residence in the lounge of a Holiday Inn and let the world come to us. Think about it. We could have our rooms on the second floor, and when it's time to go to work, we get in the elevator and we go downstairs, night after night, And I'll be wearing a slinky gown with sequins on it and hand-holding the mic and sleazing around the audience because I'll probably have too much arthritis to be playing the banjo by then. And Marcia will be playing her Gibson L4 electric guitar, which will at that time be an antique, just like the two of us. Halfway there, starting to eye that rocking chair. Give me respect that never used to be there, simply because I'm nearly halfway there. Halfway there, I'm not growing any taller. In fact, the doctor says I'm starting to get smaller, but don't worry, 'cause I'm only halfway there. When I was a little child, I thought 40 was old and never wild. Over the hill, on the way out, I see things differently now. Halfway there, Johnny Carson have dark hair, and Madonna wasn't even there, and I'm only almost halfway there. Play it, Les Paul.
Comes back, they're going to recruit you. I could tell.
I hope so. We love that music.
You seem to like every kind of music.
Just about. Yeah, just about. We listen to almost every kind of music. We kind of go in jags, you know, listen to something for a year and play it like crazy and listen to something else. And
I did want to ask you, when you mentioned all the instruments, you didn't mention fiddle. And when I first met you, you were playing quite a bit of fiddle, it seems to me.
I still play the fiddle, and actually Marcy's taken up the fiddle, and in her usual disgusting manner got quite good on it quite quickly. Mm-hmm. But we don't usually tour with it. It's, for us, something that we really like playing at home and playing with friends, and at home from time to time we still play square dances and stuff like that, but we don't usually use it in concerts at this point.
The song that Kathy and Marcy just did, called Halfway There, is on their album called Voice on the Wind, which is dedicated to the memory of Patsy Montana.
Mm-hmm.
You produced an album of hers too, mm-hmm. didn't you?
We did. I produced an album called The Cowboy Sweetheart, and it was on the Flying Fish label, which is now part of the Rounder label, as you mentioned earlier. And of course, I have my entire friendship and association with Patsy Montana. I have you and Roz to thank for that, because when I was on the show here, and it was either 1980 or 81, and I think it was probably pretty close to 80, I sang a song of Patsy's called That's Where the West Begins. Mm-hmm. And when I finished singing it, you said, well, you know, if you like Patsy Montana, you ought to call her up. She doesn't live too far from here. And I was in total shock that she was alive and that I could call her up then. I did call her, and she invited me over to her house for lunch the next day. And I got to her house and did what often happens in situations like that, sort of had to audition. I got to her house, and she was real friendly, and she opened the door and let me in. But she wanted to hear me do some of her songs, so I got out my guitar and did a little singing and yodeling for Patsy, and she thought it was good enough for us to spend the rest of the day together. Uh-huh. And then we did quite a bit of touring and performing together. Fair amount of it. Marcy was on the tours with us together, and it was pretty amazing. Patsy was a remarkable entertainer. Of course, if there are a few people listening who don't know who she was the first woman in country music to sell 1 million records, which she did back in 1935 with a hit called I Want to Be a Cowboy's Sweetheart. And in the 30s, she was the epitome of the best that country music had to offer. And she kept performing until maybe the early 50s or so. And she continued performing, but she came out here and raised her family, didn't perform quite so much, got back into it again. And a lot of people have credited me with sort of bringing back Patsy Montana, and I don't deserve that credit. She continued performing all along. What I was able to do was introduce her to another audience that I thought would appreciate her music that otherwise might not have heard her, and that was the folk audience and the folk mm-hmm. festivals, places like Winnipeg and Vancouver and the Augusta Heritage Arts Workshops. She was there with us a couple of times, and of course the opportunity to produce her album and work with her on a project like that was really pretty special.
Mm. She taught us so much, just from the first time we met her. First time I met her, my old band, the Bosom Buddies, was hired to back her up at a folk festival. And we didn't know what to do. You know, we kind of knew her stuff a little bit. We'd heard of her, certainly, and thought she was wonderful, but we didn't know what we were doing. And so she leaned over to me and said, play a whole bunch of stuff. Play more than you think I want you to play. Mm-hmm. So I did, and then she said, that's more than I want you to play. Play a little bit less. And but she just kept coaching me for years on what to do with her music and, you know, giving me new things to learn. And it was wonderful.
One of the most remarkable things about Patsy is that she never stopped learning new things. When we sat down to plan out her album, The Cowboy Sweetheart, that I produced, she picked out about 5 brand new songs to learn that she'd never sung and never performed to put on that album. And I thought that was pretty remarkable. There's a lot of people in her situation who would have just, you know, done more versions of their old stuff. And
yeah.
We did a few versions of the old things. With Cowboy Sweetheart, we did something very special, which was got her to write a third new verse to the Cowboy Sweetheart. We all felt like if she's going to record that song one more time, there needs to be a reason to do it. And we thought updating it would be really pretty fun. So she put a third verse on about finding her cowboy sweetheart, and she was married to Paul Rose from the time that they, you know, very shortly after they met at the Chicago Barn Dance until the time she passed away about 1.5 years ago. And they were a wonderful couple, well over 50 years of marriage. And so it was really kind of fun to get her to add that extra verse to it. She never stopped learning. She had tons of energy. very, very resilient. And the other thing that was great, I think one of my favorite moments with Patsy was performing with her at the Vancouver Folk Music Festival and watching her get a standing ovation from 20,000 people, many of whom probably didn't have a clue who she was before they got to that festival. But the pure charm of her on stage and the ability to get everyone in the audience singing Home on the Range.
Mm-hmm. Nobody else could do that.
You know, it was great.
I'm curious if you can give us some insight into her relationship with that band, the Prairie Ramblers. Were they the backing band for her, or was she part of the band? Or
the Prairie Ramblers were, I think, already on WLS radio in Chicago when Patsy got there. And there's a great story about how Patsy got to the radio, because nowadays, you know, there are the occasional special shows like this one where people play live.
Yeah.
But when Patsy was on the radio, recordings weren't what people played on the radio. It was the live music. And, you know, as you well know, lots of people got up at 5 o'clock in the morning and turned on the radio, and if they heard music, it was a live band in those days. And the Prairie Ramblers were an old-time string band that were already performing on WLS when Patsy got up there. Patsy and a couple of her brothers, for some reason, decided that they were going to deliver what they thought was the world's largest watermelon from Hope, Arkansas, to the Chicago World's Fair. And so they put this gigantic watermelon in the back of the truck, and as they're driving away, her mom yells at her, "Oh, and go say hi to my favorite announcer at WLS," because in those days you could hear Chicago radio all the way down to Arkansas. So she says, "Fine," and they get up there and they deliver this watermelon to the World's Fair, and she goes over to WLS and says, "My mom wanted me to say hi to you." And she found out that there were auditions that day, and she said, "Well, maybe I'll audition." And she got out a guitar and auditioned and made it, and there she was for a very long time, and country music history really happened.
And we had no idea how old she was when we were dragging her around the country, too. Just absolutely no idea.
Well, I'd heard stories that she had tried to keep it
she did.
To herself.
Yeah, she always said, "You'll have to come to my funeral to find out how old I am." So she was in her late 70s through her mid-80s while we were touring with her, and she was remarkable.
Our guests are Kathy Fink and Marcy Marxer. How about another song?
Sure. Well, we thought we would sing something that Marcy wrote, and this is off of an album that came out just before Voice on the Wind. It's called Blanket Full of Dreams. And one of the cool things for us about the Blanket Full of Dreams album is that it was nominated for a Grammy this year. Marcy and I actually went to the Grammys.
Took her mom,
had a big party. It was really, really fun. And it was nominated for a Grammy in the Best Recorded Music for Children category. And it was a real special project to us because it was the opposite of all of our other albums where we have planned them and plotted them and outlined them and all of that kind of stuff. For years and years, we made up these songs to send to our godchildren as gifts for holidays, for birthdays, whatever it may be. And a lot of the songs had these kids' names in them, so they could go to sleep listening to songs that had their names in them and stuff like that. And we did that for 4 or 5 years, and Marcy and I were updating these tapes for these kids one time, and we sort of looked at the list and we said, look at all these lullabies we've made up. You know, if we just had 2 or 3 more, we'd have a whole album full of lullabies. And at this point, they had just all been recorded, you know, almost as a basement tape. And so the next thing that happened is Marcy watched this great movie with Louis Armstrong and Danny Kaye called The Five Pennies, where the two of them are doing one of these horn duets, this great swing thing where there's one chord progression and two people play two different melodies over the same chord progression at the same time, and it sounds great. And Marcy said, "I wonder if I could do that." And I swear to you, 10 minutes later, she had written this song that did exactly that. And it sounds like it could have been done 40 years ago, and it's called The Swing Time Lullaby, and it actually became the title song on the album. The album's not called Swing Time Lullaby, but the song has the words Blanket Full of Dreams in it. And this was sort of the one that made the whole album come together. And we said, "Hey, we can do it now. We've got the whole thing. This is it, The Swing Time Lullaby." Thank you.
will spark from silver beams in a swing time lullaby. A pillow full of wishes, a blanket full of dreams in a swing time lullaby. Little sleepyhead, close your eyes. It's time to kiss your cares goodbye. Soon you'll see the sunlight that tomorrow brings in a swing time lullaby.
Guests are Kathy Fink and Marcy Markser. You're listening to KPFK Los Angeles, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio for all Southern California. Coming up at 10 o'clock tonight, it's California Artists Radio Theater. Tonight, Ernie Pyle, Part 2, play based on the life of the World War II wartime journalist with William Wyndham as Ernie Pyle. And then 11:30, it's jazz all the way through the night with John Brecko, the keeper of the archives. As I said before, our guests are Kathy Fink and Marcy Markser. Now, you're also part of a group called, or were part of a group called Blue Rose, which is what, In Suspension or something?
Oh, yeah. In Suspension?
Well, Blue Rose actually never was a performing group. Blue Rose was a sort of a concept album. And it came out on Sugar Hill with Lori Lewis, Sally Van Meter, Molly Mason, Marcy, and myself. And back when I thought about the project was a couple of years before it came out. It came out almost 10 years ago. And I just felt like there were a lot of great women in bluegrass and acoustic country music that weren't getting nearly as much recognition as I'd like to see them get. And I was also constantly, every time I was in a record store, flipping through, seeing all of these albums of jam sessions of great players in the bluegrass and acoustic country world. And there were hardly ever any women on these albums. It was the same group of, you know, phenomenal guys all the time. And I just felt like we need to find a way to help open this up. And so just as a kind of special project, we thought, well, let's just get together an all-female group of people that we think are great. Now, it wasn't the first all-female group to do this kind of music or anything like that, but we were really aiming for such a right combination of talent that it would be its own little supergroup. And so the Blue Rose album happened. And in the next year, we were able to do maybe as many as 10 performances together in places where Laurie's band was performing and Marcy and I were performing, and maybe Sally would be able to be there, and you know, sometimes we'd have to make some compromises in personnel but still be able to represent the group. And that went on for, you know, 6 or 8 months to promote the album and stuff like that. And then everybody's got such busy careers, you know. Laurie's an incredible singer and songwriter with her own band and doing a duo with Tom Rosum, and Sally has been in lots of different bands, the Good Old Persons, and lately she's been touring with Tony Furtado quite a bit. And then, you know, Marcy and I have our kids' career, our adult career, producing records, and we've also been touring internationally quite a bit. And so the idea that this could happen very frequently went, you know, pretty far by the wayside. However, we got an invitation to perform at the 10th anniversary of the Live Oak Festival in just outside of Santa Barbara for next year, for 1998. And it looks like everybody's going to be able to be there, except for Molly. Sally's going to be there, Laurie, Marcy, myself. And I'm not sure who the bass player is going to be yet, but the core group is going to be there, and it's going to be real fun.
I am looking forward to seeing that. You have no idea.
Well, we are, too. And being back at Live Oak, too, you know, we couldn't believe what a wonderful festival that was. It's like playing Carnegie Hall outside.
No, it was our second time there.
Oh, yeah. Really?
I think we must have been at the second Live Oak Festival.
It was a long time ago.
So it was quite a while ago. And it's come a long way. It's gotten bigger, but it's not too big. And I love the way the festival is run. I kind of loved the fact that there weren't 10 stages, that all of the energy happened in one place. Mm-hmm. You know, when the main stage was on, then everybody's there. And when it's time for some workshops or kids' concerts, there's a little bit of dispersing. But I felt like the energy and the focus was really in a place that gave the audience the best there was and the performers the best way to possibly perform.
Mm-hmm.
Look forward to it. How about another song?
Sure. You want to play some Mandalay Mars?
Sure.
We actually, we're going to reach back a little bit in the Kathy and Marcy archives here and do a song that I wrote just about 10 years ago in honor of the NAMES quilt, the AIDS Memorial quilt. The first time it was shown on the mall in Washington, I'm looking for my thumb pick.
Oh, it's on. It's right here.
There it is. Hang on. I'll be back. I swear. The first time it was shown on the National Mall, in Washington there were 1,920 panels. And last year, when it was on the mall, there were over 40,000 panels from all over the world. When I saw the quilt and wrote this song, I had no idea that it was going to end up having such a life of its own, and it's turned into one of those tunes. It was the centerpiece for a tour that we did in Japan about 3 years ago. We've done three different tours in Japan, and 3 years ago we got an invitation to come over because a Japanese folk singer had translated the song into Japanese and recorded it, and members of the NAMES Quilt Volunteer Force in Japan actually toured with us to concert halls with pieces of the quilt and stood in front of audiences and talked about the lives of the people on those panels. It was a really remarkable experience. It's now been recorded in about 8 different countries by about 25 artists and groups in the States, and even a choral version has just been released by Lawson Gould, which is one of the big publishers of choral music and stuff. And it makes us think of a lot of people, a lot of places. Especially, we like to dedicate this song to David Lemos, who was the second executive director of the quilt, and became a good friend of ours and someone that we loved very much. And he has since passed, but is represented beautifully on the quilt. And the song is called Names. Patchwork of thousands of precious names. There must be someone that you know. Woven together in a quilted frame. Names and loved ones won't let go. And I know that my name could be there. And I feel the pain and the fear. And as human love and passions do not make us all the same, we are counted not as numbers, but as names.
someday. But until that time, I will carry the flame. As the numbers grow, we'll not forget their names. And I know that my name could be there, and I feel the pain and the fear. And as human love and passions do not make us all the same, we are counted not as numbers but as names. A lover, a carpenter, a father, a friend, a sister, minister, a mom. Each quilted piece holds a memory. Each memory helps us to go on. And I know that my name could be there. I feel the pain and the fear. And as human love and passions do not make us all the same, we are counted not as numbers but as names. And as human love and passions do not make us all the same, we are counted not as numbers, but as names.
For those of you that would like a copy of that for your own, it's on the Sugar Hill recording that's just titled Kathy Fink and Marcy Marxer. We're going to have time for two more numbers if I
keep two my, more numbers?
Yeah.
Number one and number two.
Hey, that's it. That was it. This is great. You know, we actually really have to thank both of you, Roz and Howard, for all the work and energy you've put on keeping live music on the air, keeping folk music, acoustic music, bluegrass music. You are some of the most knowledgeable people in the music industry as far as all these different styles and artists. And you really keep up with everybody. We see you at the Folk Alliance and many other places during the year. You really do your homework. And it's remarkable. I wish we had something like that in our area. And you're real lucky. Everyone who is in this listening area, you're very lucky to have these two.
Well, we're going to do a recipe. We're going to do one of those songs that bridges the kids' music and the adult music. Probably one of our most requested songs of the last 3 years. It's a real live chocolate cake recipe from the Hershey's Cookbook. And this song was written especially for our album, A Parent's Home Companion, by those wacky wonders of word and music, Peter and Lou Berryman. It is a one-act play in 2.5 minutes.
And it's a mom talking on the telephone, trying to give a recipe for a chocolate cake to her friend while her three kids are bugging her in the background for snacks. So it gets a little bit confusing. It's dedicated to anyone out there with kids who's ever tried to talk on the telephone.
Or
anyone without kids who's tried to talk to someone who had kids on the other end. That's even weirder because you really don't know what's going on.
And in our kids' concerts, we also like to dedicate it to any kid who has ever been yelled at for talking on the telephone, at which point they jump out of their seats up and down and yell, me, I did it this morning, with incredible pride and joy.
The parents blush and the kids are proud. Hello, Joni, this is me. Say, I found that recipe for orange cocoa cake. So, Joni, get a pencil quick, because can you believe I'm by myself? Al's at work, the kids are out there playing house. All three of them, they're all out on the deck. 1/2 cup unsweetened cocoa, 1/2 cup of boiling water, 1/4 cup of butter, and 1/4 cup of shortening, 2 cups sugar, 1/8 teaspoon salt, teaspoon of vanilla, 1 1/2 teaspoons baking soda. Excuse me just a sec. Dave, dear, I'm right over here. Would you like some crackers and bologna? Are you having fun? Now don't get too much sun. Please excuse me while I talk with Joni. Two eggs, Joni, David, David crackers, dear, not malted milk balls in the cupboard. Joni, one cup buttermilk or sour milk, 1 3/4 cups unsifted. Ring bologna in the fridge, unsifted general purpose. David, did you really check? 1 3/4 cups unsifted general purpose flour, Joni. There, I finally got it out. Okay, David, malted milk balls, only 5, though. 3/4 teaspoon grated orange peel, 1/4 teaspoon orange extract. Oh, excuse me just a sec. Lisbon, I'm here in the den. Would you like some crackers and bologna? Are you having fun? Now don't get too much sun. Please excuse me while I talk with Joni. Joni, one more 1/8 teaspoon of... Lizzie, what's the matter, dear? Baking soda, Joni. Lizzie, don't hit Benji. That's uncalled for. That's okay, Ben. Joni, 3 more tablespoons of buttermilk or sour milk. Oh, come here, Liz. What's that on your neck? Now, don't worry, Liz. It's only one real tiny tick. Someone, David, go and get the tweezers. Joni, maybe in the bathroom. Joni, maybe we should... Ben, don't cry. Have one more malted milk ball. Lizzie, Mom will be right there. Excuse me just a sec. Really gotta go, Joan. See you about a tick. Then we're gonna have a party with the neighborhood kids. And Lizzie has to go to an appointment at 11. And I'm taking Benji too because we have to buy a costume. He's gonna play tomorrow over at the church. Isn't it tomorrow, Benji? Benji, where'd you go? Lizzie, isn't Benji gonna play a piece of pie tomorrow? I remember now, pumpkin pie. Lizzie can't go. There's a party in the park for all the people with pets. We know she gotta go to that. And Daddy gotta take her and the kitty and the Chevy. After that, we have to reconnoiter over at the big boy. Gotta go, Joan. By the way, did you ever reconsider getting married, having children of your own? Turn the television down. Your mother's on the telephone. Call you back, Joan Toodaloo.
There's going to be a quiz at the end of the program. See if you got
make
that recipe.
The cake. That's it.
One more song.
Sure.
What's, what would you like to do,
Let's
Kath?
Use the electric there, Mars. Okay. I think in light of all of those kind and true things that we just said about Howard and Roz, this is the closing song on our album, Voice on the Wind, and it's by one of our favorite songwriters on Earth, Cy Conn, who... he's, in our opinion, really the people's writer of the 80s and the 90s, and this is a tune called What Will I Leave?
Late in the evening as light fades away, in silence we gather together, searching the faces of those who are here, for those who have left us forever. What will I leave? What will I leave? What will I leave? When I'm gone, who'll carry on? What will I leave behind? Where are the ones who caught flame in the night, fired up by the heat of devotion?
Fire.
What will I leave? What will I leave? what will I leave behind? When I am gone, who'll carry on? What will I leave behind? Hearts of the ones who inherit your lives will rest in the truth you have spoken. Memory will echo the trust that you kept. Like you, it will never be broken. What will I leave? What will I leave? What will I leave behind? When I'm gone, who'll carry on? What will I leave behind? When I'm gone,
and please come back again soon. Let's not wait all those years.
I forgot to look it up today, but it's got to be 8 or 9 years, maybe 10 years.
It's almost 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was such come a back. Pleasure having you guys in.
Well, yeah. It's great being here, and it was great hearing Chris Proctor earlier, and that was a treat for us.
That was a lot of fun. We'll see you in Memphis, right?
We will be there at the Folk Alliance.
We're going to Nashville the week before. So someone gave us their house. We're going to house sit.
What a place to house sit.
We're going to help somebody out.
That's cool. Yeah.
Meanwhile,
that's very
they're
kind
helping
of you.
Us out.
Very kind of you. You're so generous.
Yeah.
That's just great.
Well, thank you guys for stopping by. And if Chris is listening, he's on the road. He's going.
He's on his way to Bakersfield. So, I haven't the slightest idea why Bakersfield, but who
it's
knows?
It's like Bruce Phillips says, why?
Yes. Stay tuned for the California Artists Radio Theater.
And we'll be back next Sunday night, and we're going to have Holly and Barry Tashin, and they'll be our guests next week. So
lucky you.
Great. Take care. Thanks, Peter and Cannon and Stephen and Alan and to Kathy and Marcy and Chris Proctor, and I'm going to say goodnight.